Turn in Genesis chapter 18. I want to speak to you today about spiritual maturity. Grow in it. We need to grow in spiritual maturity. Amen. If your child is not excelling, you talk to the teachers and all that kind of stuff and try to find out what's wrong. Well, we need to excel in spiritual maturity, because that's what God wants us to do. Genesis chapter 18, we're going to read the whole chapter. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, there three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent and door, and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under a tree. And I will fetch the morsels of bread, and comfort your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Listen to this. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and increased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, Here, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I surely bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? This is what they're asking her. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. I want to ask you today, can the Lord say that of you? For I know you. He says, For I know Abraham. In other words, he's saying here that he will command his children and his household after him. He's going to do what's right, God is saying. He's going to do the right thing by his family. That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the day of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the places for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak peradventure there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Listen, he's bargaining with the Lord, folks. This is awesome. And he said, behold, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy for 20's sake. You see how much pull we have with God? And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way, and as soon as he had left, communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Heavenly Father, right now, God, I thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy toward us. God, you love each and every one of us. God, you desire, Lord God, to commune with us like you do with Abraham. God, touch and move right now and speak to every heart here today. Speak through your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Folks, God wants, listen to this, to be intimate with you. He wants to be intimate with you. God wants to reveal his plans for you today. But you need to walk with him. God wants us to mature in faith and trust in him. You see, God is always ready for us, waiting to have an intimate relationship with us. God has a plan, a purpose about each and every child of God. God has a universal plan, and God's plan for you and me fits into that universal plan. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to nations. Listen to what God said in that verse. I knew you in the womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. And he appointed you as prophets to a nation. Jeremiah 1 verse 12 says, the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. God's looking at what he said to make sure that everything he said is fulfilled. That's a God that is concerned with details. You see, God is working in fulfilling his plan for you today. But folks, we cannot obtain God's purpose by just leading an ordinary life. You see, folks, when God dealt with Abraham, it's because Abraham knew God. Abraham talked to God. God just didn't just pick any random person and do the things that he did with Abraham. Didn't say any other members of his household except for his wife Sarah. That Abraham, God didn't speak to you like that. You see, God wants us to be above ordinary. We have to lift up our faith and life to godly standards for God to use us. In other words, God wants us to grow and to mature in Him spiritually. Do you feel you are growing in your spiritual life? Do you feel that you have come further in your service to God and living for God more than you were last year? If not, then you need to make it a goal to draw closer to God this year. You see, are you growing in your faith? Are you growing in your devotion to God? Or do you feel that you are still a spiritual baby with less or no growth at all who needs a lot of attention? You see, God wants us to grow spiritual maturity. So today I want to talk to you about growing in spiritual maturity. You see, your desires in life and in God's promises in your life can be achieved only when we fall in line of God's calling on our life. Well, Pastor, what do you say? Well, God works on us as individuals to establish His plans. You see, folks, do you believe God has a plan for your life? Do you want that activated in your life? God works in us to make us spiritually mature. When you read in Genesis 12, God appeared to Abraham. God gave Abraham promise. He gave him a vision and a purpose in life. Now, it's not always easy. One of the things that Abraham did was he had to leave his family. He had to leave things that meant things to him. It was special to him. And God said, I want you to leave there, Abraham. They didn't understand. Can you imagine being Abraham and going to your family and say, well, me and Sarah, we're moving. Well, where are you going? Well, we're not really sure. Because he didn't know. Abraham, are you out of your mind? You sure you talk to God? Think about it, folks. If you went to your family and says, I'm leaving. Where are you going? I don't know. What would they think of you? You're part of a cult. Huh? But Abraham knew what he was doing. And though Abraham left his house in obedience to God's calling, the Bible says that there were times when his faith was shaken. We have that, and there's not a whole lot changed in our life. The Bible says there were times when his faith was shaken. When you read in Genesis 12 and 15 and 17, God appeared to Abraham, and God realized that his faith was shaken, and so God would appear to Abraham and strengthen his faith. See, folks, God cares about you. And finally, when you read in Genesis 17, Abraham responds by complete obedience. By now, Abraham, folks, begins to mature in his faith. He begins to trust his God wholeheartedly. You see, when you begin to trust God, folks, and God starts doing things in your life, when God sees that your faith is shaking, He comes to just encourage you, amen, and to bless your life, you begin to grow and understand, man, this is the pattern that I need to live. Abraham obeyed God in circumcising his whole household one day in Genesis 17. And when he was 99 years old, folks, God finally gave him a son when he was 100 years old. So he circumcised his whole family when he's 99 years old. By the time he was 100 years old, he had his son. It took 25 years for Abraham's faith to mature. God worked in Abraham all these years, and finally, God delivered his promise to Abraham. Moses was selected to deliver the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt when he was a child. It took 80 years, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in Midian, for Moses to fall in line with God's plan. 80 years. You see, folks, we don't even live much past that. So you better hurry up. Right? David was anointed king at the age of 20. But it was at the age of 37 that he became king. It took 17 years to build up David's trust and faith in God. You see, we serve a God that cares. We serve a God that is compassionate and loving. It says, aren't you glad? He's like, come on. Come on. You know, I like to compare it a lot of times to when you're teaching that child to walk. And they're wobbling. And then they fall down. You don't kick them when they're down. Get them up. You pick them back up and say, come on, you can do this. Try it. Don't stop. Keep on. That's your God. He cares. When we mess up, he cares. Folks, God constantly works in our lives to make us mature. The circumstances we are in are given by God or allowed by God to establish us, his way of life in our life. He wants us to learn from mistakes instead of being angry, to grow in him. Our sicknesses, our financial problems, our struggles in life, all these things are allowed by God so that we may mature in our spiritual life. So not to lose heart, because God is in control. Amen? When you go through these things, don't lose heart. Just know God is in control. Amen? He's got this. And I can trust in him. An aircraft has so much difficulties when it starts moving. So when we look at some of these aircrafts, you think, how in the world do they fly? They're huge. How do they fly? There's so much difficulty in just getting off of the ground. It needs clearance from ATC, where the weather has to be good. There must be no birds in the vicinity. Right, pilot? This is Captain Nathan over here. He got his license. He's a pilot now. And once he gets the clearance, though, once that plane gets the clearance, it takes off and it gains altitude and is no more bothered by the conditions below where it took off from. You see, planes' only focus is to fly forward to reach its destination. And folks, today God wants us to rise up in our spiritual lives according to his calling. And when our spiritual life begins to soar, the problems of this world become less important to us. And our focus will be to reach the destination that God is calling us to be. That should be your focus. So understand, folks, God works in us individually to achieve his plans. God is working in you. So I encourage you today to not give up, because God is in control. But see, folks, God works on others to collectively establish his plan. So God works on you, and he's working on this one. He's working on different ones, not only to have you grow, but he wants us all to grow together, collectively. Folks, Abraham on his own could do nothing to see God's plan come through. See, what are you talking about, Pastor? Abraham, folks, could do nothing on his own to see God's plan happen, because he needed his wife Sarah. Abraham couldn't have a baby on his own. You see how we need each other. God has a plan, not only for your life, to use you in areas, but he also needs people around you to help you, to make his plan come forward. So now if Sarah wanted a daughter, God promised Abraham a son. It might be an argument. So what if she did not want a child at all? I'm too old. You know those childbearing years for a reason. Right? That's why grandparents love little kids to come over, but we love it when they go home. Whew. I'm ready for bed. God had to work collectively with Sarah after working with Abraham to accomplish his purpose. Genesis 18, 1 through 8 says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door of the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, there the three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. And therefore are ye come to your servant. And he said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young man. And he hastened to dress it and took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set before them. And he stood by them under the tree and they did eat. Now Abraham is sitting there in his tent. He sees three men nearby. He ran to meet them and he invited them into his tent. And Abraham let them rest in his tent and gave them food to eat. But remember, Abraham is already in obedience to God, and he recognized that these are not ordinary guests, but the Lord and his angels. When you read in Hebrews 13, verse 2, he says, Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. So Abraham's already doing what he's supposed to do. And Abraham showed great hospitality to these guests. Folks, now what was God's purpose to visit Abraham? God visited Abraham's tent to strengthen Sarah. To strengthen Sarah's faith. Sarah's faith would have been as low as Abraham's faith. But God personally worked with Abraham over the years, and he matured in his relationship with God. God needed to strengthen Sarah's faith. Abraham may have forgot to tell Sarah, probably not, about the promised son, or maybe that Abraham told Sarah, and maybe Sarah could not believe it. It was just that Sarah's faith needed reassurance. And the Lord just did that by visiting them in their tent. Hebrews 11:11 says, By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Here we can find that Abraham and Sarah had faith in God. Collectively. To achieve God's promises in their tent, in their lives, I'm sorry. And when my faith matures, when your faith matures, you start to pursue God's purpose. You start to pursue God's work with you, or in the church also, collectively. And what it does, it instills the same vision in you. So that together, we can work for establishing God's plan in our lives. How did God strengthen Sarah's faith? In Genesis 18, verse 8 through 15, And he took butter and milk and the calf which had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of a woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord, being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? He wanted her to hear that. The angel wanted her to hear that. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. He's wanting her. He's there to encourage her. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. You see, these were the days when women and men did not eat together. The women usually sat on the other side of the tent, often separated from with a curtain. So the guest could not see the woman, but the woman could listen to the guest conversation. As visitors were eating, they did something unusual. As these visitors were sitting there, they did something that usually doesn't happen. The guest asked for Abraham's wife by name. No visitor would know the host's wife's name, and even if they knew, they would never ask. Now, by asking, where is your wife, Sarah, the guest hint that the visit was indeed for Sarah. This also shows that they were not just human visitors, but God and angels. Now, folks, Sarah laughed to herself when the visitor said that she will have a son next year. She would have laughed in her heart without making a sound. But the visitor knew Sarah laughed, and it was indeed God who was in the tent that day with Abraham. Sarah outrightly denied that she laughed, but God said, yes, you did laugh. God knows. God did not just condemn Sarah for telling lies. God, folks, tries to work through Sarah and strengthen her faith in order to achieve his plans. And look what God says in Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God's here today to strengthen you. God's here today to encourage you. Folks, don't allow the things that are going on in this world to pull you down, because your God is in control. Is there anything too hard for your God? Come on. And just as God knew Sarah's weakness, and God made Sarah believe that anything and everything is possible with God, that's what he's trying to speak to you today. God is trying to help you in your weakness because he wants to use you. He wants to encourage you. God knows our unbelief. He knows what we struggle with. And he wants to work in us to build up our faith and trust in him. God says, anything is impossible by me. Anything is possible by me. God, here God himself strengthened Sarah's faith. God prepared Sarah to stand by Abraham to fulfill his purpose. God gave me a burden, folks, for Cleveland years ago. And when we came to Cleveland, there was 10 to 12 of us, including a family of five that I had. And we worked together with God for the fulfillment of a burden, amen, he put in my heart. And God brought all of you to us and put the same vision on some of you. And when we worked together for the kingdom of God, God put the burden of believing for a building, and we got this building. And I believe that God has put a burden for a new building on each and every one of us, and God is going to do the same also, folks. Why? For the future of his purpose in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, collectively, we at COP are moving forward to establish God's purpose here in the city in Northeast Ohio. Folks, God collectively works in others to establish His plan. God is working in you and me today. Amen? And today, all of you are going through, all the things that you're going through is the plan of God. He will use things to help forward His plan. Amen? Whatever it is. God wants us to mature in our faith. God wants us to mature in our spiritual life through our circumstances. And once we fall in line with God's plan, that's the key. Once we fall in line with God's plan, it is again God who brings others with the same vision to work alongside of us, to work with us. Now, God does not leave us like that, neither did He leave Abraham alone. The more Abraham was obedient, hear me, the more Abraham was obedient to God, the more God became intimate with Abraham. Folks, I'm telling you, a lot of the problems we go through are brought on by our own actions because we won't line up where God wants us to line up. Come on, we're stubborn. And Pastor, what do you think? Pastor says, okay, whatever. Don't want to hear anybody. Don't want to hear anybody's advice. But Abraham, when he lined up with the things of God, things began to happen. God's plan began to fall. God became more intimate with him. And look at how great God is. He came to this earth just to strengthen Sarah's faith. So that between Abraham and Sarah, they could fulfill the will of God. That's awesome. That is awesome. So God doesn't want to, he doesn't want to leave you alone, just like he didn't want to leave Abraham alone. The more Abraham was obedient, the more God became intimate with him. The more you fall in line with God's plan, the more God will reveal His heart to you. Now, listen, it may not be what you planned, but those plans don't matter in the scheme of things. If all you're looking forward is to what you want here on this earth, then God will allow you to have what to fight for the things you want on this earth. But do you want it in the realm of God? Do you want it in the realm of your future, eternity with God? Oh, it's getting quiet. What matters in life? What I want or what God wants? I promise you, you know, I may usually a lot of times the people that seek things and seek material things and seek to establish a great life on this earth, they're never really satisfied. You ever walk down the miles by the registers in Walmart and in different places and you see all those people with all kinds of money, very unhappy? You walk by one day and they're married to this person. You walk by the next day and they're married to somebody else. They got all this wealth and all this kind of stuff, but they're never happy. But here I am with a little bit of money in the bank. Thank goodness my house is paid off. Oh, a little bit on my cars. Always having to fix something. Living for God, and I'm content. Because, see, I'm seeking after the things of God. I used to live in the country, folks. Now I live in the city. I'm still happy. My family told me I was crazy for going to Cleveland. Well, maybe I am, but I'm still happy. Because I'm in the will of God. I am glad God brought me here to know all of you. I really, truly am happy that I know all of you. And I feel blessed in my life, folks. Amen. When I think about the things of God in my life, I say, God, thank you so much. When I go to camps and I go to conferences and sometimes I just sit there and I just watch people and I say, God, thank you for allowing me to be a part of your kingdom. I am such a blessed man, folks. I'm telling you, we need to look at things through the eyes of God and other things that matter. Amen. And when I see what God has done in many of your lives and where God has brought us all from, folks, I am glad that I know that Jesus Christ loves me and He wants to use me and He wants me to be a part of His plan. See, the things that I may have wanted, they don't matter. It really don't matter. I drove by a place on Route 18 yesterday. There's a Dairy Queen there now. Used to be a gas station sitting there that I tried so hard to get. I wanted that gas station. It was a golf gas station. I had big plans. My dad used to have a golf gas station. He had a couple of them. But I had big plans. But you know what I realize now? And when I drive by there now, there's a Dairy Queen there. But I was going to get royalties from the Holiday Inn behind it, too. I tried so hard. But it wasn't God's plan for me. And then I think about it. If I would have got that station, I would probably never married my wife, had my beautiful children, my grandkids today. I wouldn't be a part of this here today. You see what really matters in life, folks? And then I remember shortly after that, I started to get serious with God. And I said, God, I want what you want. I want to do something for you. I want to be what you want me to be. And look where God brought me today. I'm so glad I didn't get that gas station. I'm so glad. Oh, I could have probably been sitting in a really nice home. Who knows? I got a good enough home. It's very nice. Amen? You see, folks, when you seek the things of God, you're always in the will of God and you are content in the will of God. It's when we begin to look and desire other things is where that discontentment comes from. So once we fall in line with God's plan, it is again God who brings others to that same vision to work with us. Amen. We need each other. Don't think you can serve God on your own out there. You need the church. Don't fool yourself. The devil's a liar. God does not leave us. Amen. And the more Abraham was obedient, the greater things God did in his life. And the more you fall in line, the greater things God will do, and you will be so glad that you did them. God will reveal his plan and his purpose for your life. Genesis 18, 16 and 17 says, when the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom and Abraham, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. And listen to this. Then the Lord said, he's talking about his friend here, his intimate friend. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? This shows God's closeness with Abraham. By now, Abraham has become very intimate to God, and he got the title Friend of God. James chapter 2, verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled that day. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. His belief in God was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Philippians chapter 3, 7-9 says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider the loss for the sake of Christ. This is Paul talking. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Why? For whose sake I have lost all things. Paul's saying, look, I've lost everything, but I consider it nothing. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. You see, folks, what does it mean to have a genuinely real, intimate relationship with Jesus? What does it really mean? You see, relationship has been God's plan since the beginning of time. Jesus provides us access. Relationship with God is simple. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. As long as you don't allow things to take you away from the things of God. What are you allowing to keep you from being all that God wants you to be? What is it in your life that holds you back from being what you know you should be with God? You see, a lot of times we feel guilt. We feel this guilt in this, we come to church. We know we should be doing more, but I want to hold on to this. I just can't let go of this situation in my life. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a relationship. What is it that is holding you back from doing what God wants you? Maybe it's success in life. Maybe it's material things. What is holding you back? You see, what did the enemy do to Eve? To try to convince her to do what God said, don't do. Eve, look at that. The Bible says she looked at it. It was good to look upon. Mm-hmm. But what did the enemy do? See, God knows Eve. He don't want you to eat that because he knows when you do, you'll be like him. And God doesn't want you to be that. Envy. Desiring things that you have no business desiring. Come on. And God wants you to think, well, if I live for God, I'm going to be held back. I won't achieve everything. Because I feel God wants me to do this, but I can be more successful doing this. And God's just trying to hold me back. Paul said all that stuff is rubbish. You know what? You can't take it with you. The old saying, you never see a U-Haul truck in a funeral procession line. You don't take it with you. Very simply, do you love Jesus and are you growing closer to him more every day? That's what I desperately want. See, I've always tried to live by Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those things that I want, God will give them to me. They will be added unto you. Amen? So are you trying every day to draw closer to God? Is that what you want? That's what I want. Abraham is one of those few people that God specifically defines as his friend in Scripture. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and was credited to him for righteousness as righteous, and he was called God's friend. So why was Abraham called God's friend? Abraham loved God by believing God. Genesis 12, Abraham was called to the impossible, yet he still believed. Believing God is foundational to a relationship with God. Abraham loved God by spending time with God. In Genesis 18, one example of the time spent with God. And Abraham loved God by communicating with God. And Abraham spoke with God and heard from God in Genesis 12. Both of these are necessary for any relationship. You must be able to communicate if you're going to have a good relationship. If you don't talk, you're not going to have a good relationship. And both of these are necessary. Believing God, hearing God, spending time with God, communicating with God. Speak with God through prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. Listen to God. He speaks to you primarily through his word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. See, a lot of people don't want to be convicted, so they don't want to read the word of God. But it'll convict you of doing things you know you shouldn't be doing. Amen? Abraham loved God just by obeying God. Amen? John 15:14, you are my friend if you do what I command. Obedience involves personal sacrifice, not just a feel-good deal. So many people, that's what they want today in Christianity. Feel good. Tickle my ear. Tell me what I want to hear. No, don't give me that rough stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, I was always thankful for a pastor who would speak to me like I need to. I've told you the story of my pastor. I made him so mad, he said, I was on the phone with him. He said, if you'd have been right here, I'd punch you right in the face. Yeah. Straighten me up. It sure did. If I told some of you that, you'd never come back. Pastor wants to punch me in the face. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What does taking up your cross mean? A sacrifice. Doing things you don't want to. This old flesh doesn't want to pray. Pick up your cross and go pray. This old flesh doesn't want to read the word. This old flesh doesn't want to go to church. Pick up your cross daily. Come on. 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. Don't just tell God you love him. Show him you love him. What if Abraham would have said, yeah, I believe God. Yeah, I'll have a child someday. Yeah, but never do anything about it. Huh? You got to show God. You got to do what he says. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience involves surrender of things that we don't want to lose. All right, remember my old pacifier story? Who all had a pacifier when you was a baby? Anybody? Anthony, you still use it? You had to give it up? Oh, my goodness. That's not fair. Everybody glad Anthony don't use a pacifier today? You see, there's certain times in life, folks, when God says, yeah, I gave it to you, but I want it back now because I got something better for you. Maybe it was your job that you had. And we get upset if God takes it from us. It's my job. Who gave it to you? He's allowed to take it back. Because that's no longer use of the pacifier. See, we got to trust God. But we have to do our part, folks. Don't just sit back and expect God to give you things when you won't do things for God. He has a purpose for you. You need to be finding out what the purpose is. God had a purpose for Abraham. Abraham couldn't sit back there with his family. He had to leave. He was living out away from all his family, away from all his wealth that he had. They thought he was crazy. But he had to go where God said. Where are we going, God? Just follow me. Just follow me. It involves surrender. Doing things for God, obedience involves surrender of things that we often don't want to lose. Jeremiah 4:4 says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts. Abraham loved God by loving others. You see, folks, there's a lot of things that we must do that maybe not be just come easy to you. Genesis 13, Abraham puts Lot's good above his own good. In 1 John 4:20-21, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. How did Abraham love Lot? By putting Lot's needs before his own. Out of that relationship, God accomplishes the impossible in and through Abraham. Our relationship is a response to his love. In Psalms 18, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In 1 John 4, he loves him because he first loved us. Jeremiah 31, he loved you with an everlasting love. John 15, I have called you friends. You see, Jesus calls us He calls you His friend. Starting a relationship with God, folks, God loves you and has a plan for your life. And I hope and pray today that you believe that. He has a plan for your sinful life and separated, that life that was separated from Him. But Jesus died for your sins to give you that relationship that He desires. You simply need to accept it. That's all we need to do. I accept what you have for me. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," again, there's us doing something. God won't kick the door in, folks. We have to open it. "I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Results of relationship with God. Again, God will not force you. He will use things to try to get you, to push you in the area. But he's not going to force you. In John 3, we have to believe in him, never perish, spend eternity with him. John 10, abundant life on this planet. Accomplish your eternity with eternally significant purpose. Accomplish it. Hebrews 12, keep your eyes on Jesus. John 15, abide in him, bear much fruit. There it is, us doing something, bearing fruit. Are you bearing fruit? Mark 12:30-31, love the Lord with all of your heart. Again, us doing something. And with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Is this where you're at? Are we there, folks? Do we love God with everything within us? Is God more important to you than anything in this world? Do you love your neighbor as you do yourself? Do you love your brothers and sisters here? I don't understand sometimes why we come here, we call ourselves the family of God, but we never want to spend time with each other. Out the door. You got to stand around and just laugh with each other sometimes. You guys are quiet. Is this where you're at? You see, that's far too rarely in reality of my life. Too often, Philippians 2 defines us, folks. Says Philippians 2:21, for everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. We're too often looking out for what we want and not what God wants. Is that where you're at? Are you believing in God? Are you spending time with God? Are you talking with God? Are you listening to Him? It's easy to be men and women of the world. Are you obeying God? You cannot love Him. Hear me. You cannot love God without obeying God. Period. He will say, well, God, I was baptized in your name. God, I prayed for people in your name. Depart from me. I never knew you. You cannot love God without obeying God. He says, if you love me, keep my suggestions. Is that what he said? If you love me, keep my commandments. See, he has called you to be a part of big things. If you love him, you will obey him. Are you loving God by loving others and putting their good first? Has anyone or anything else taken God's place in your life? James 4:4 says, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Folks, I'm telling you, don't take this stuff lightly. God means what he says in his word. We must remember. In Revelation 2:4-5 says, "For you have forsaken your first love." This is talking about people who've come to God and have been trying to live for Him. You have forsaken your first love, which was Him. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We have to confess it. You can't hide it from God. Well, God knows. Yeah, but you got to confess it. He says you do. Jeremiah 30:21. Who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? Will you devote yourself to be close to God? You see, folks, what is distracting you from Jesus? What do you need to surrender to Him? God wants to be intimate with you today. God wants to reveal His plan for you today, but you need to walk with Him. God wants us to mature in faith and trust in Him. Let's stand. God is always ready for us. He's waiting to have an intimate relationship with us. Remember, folks, we have to open the door. He's knocking. Folks, let's make a decision today to take our spiritual life seriously. Because it is a relationship. Let's mature it. Let's nurture it. This altar's open. God is desiring an intimate relationship with you. What are you going to do about it? What's holding you back?